Zephaniah chapter 3 says, Zephaniah will be with them. Verse 11, in that day you will feel no shame because of all your deeds by which you rebelled against me. Chapter 3, verse 11. You know, when we look back over our life, there are many things we feel ashamed about. All of us, we've done many, many wrong things in the past, and we're ashamed of the way we have. And sometimes the weight of that shame can be so heavy that it hinders us from going forward in our Christian life. So when the prodigal son came back, he must have been ashamed of many things that he had done. But when he saw the way his father welcomed him, and how the father never talked one word about his past life, he was so happy that his son had repented and come back. Remember this, that the people who remind you of your past life are all inspired by Satan. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He keeps on reminding people of all the wrong things they did in their life. But Jesus will never remind us of what the failures we have done in the past. We must know that. In that day, you will feel no shame because of all the deeds by which you rebelled against me. You will feel no shame at the end of it. Because of all the deeds that you did, you will have no shame. I think there are many believers who don't believe that God is so blotted out their past that He will not remember it anymore. It says in Hebrews 8:12, the sins and iniquities I will remember no more. It's very difficult for many people to believe that. I will not remember their sins anymore. There will be no shame over all that you have done in the past. I don't know if there's anybody sitting here who feels a burden of something of the past. No, there may be. That is not God's will. God's will is that our heads must be lifted up. Because Jesus has forgiven the past. I don't believe that prodigal son's father asked him once about what all he did in the past. I believe God is saying that. When we come to him, he blots out the past. Come, I receive you as you are. It's a wonderful thing. And therefore it says in verse 14, shout for joy, O daughter of Zion, shout in triumph, O Israel, and rejoice in God with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
The king of Israel is in your midst. You will fear disaster no
more.
Verse 16, don't be afraid of Zion. Don't let your hands fall limp. Because the Lord your God is in your midst as a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be silent in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. That sentence which says he'll be silent in his love. What it means is that he silently plans for us in love. You know, God is planning something for your life in love. Very difficult for us to believe that. But you know, all parents plan for their children. What do you plan for your children? You plan something secretly to make them happy, to do something for their welfare and their good. We must always believe that God is a much better father than any of us. Do you plan for your children? Do you plan, for example, that you should put them in a school to get them some education? Do you plan later on in life for something else? They must go to college, things like that. And how do they don't know anything about it. Children usually are not bothered whether you get their admission in school or not. You plan it. And Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father will do that. God is always silently planning for us in love. All His plans are for our good and our welfare. To give us a hope for the future. Isn't that good to have a God like that? We must believe it. We must not live with this fear and tension. Jesus said in John chapter 16, 14, John 14, verse 18, He said, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you.
18.
You know, an orphan is one who's got nobody to plan for. Supposing a child's parents died. Who's going to plan for that child? We have heard some very sad stories of orphans are treated by their uncles and aunties. It's terrible to be an orphan in this world. Nobody can care for you. Nobody, no mother to put their arms around you. Nobody to plan in this world where you don't know what to do. So many orphans in the streets of India go begging in the streets and picking up garbage from the garbage bins. And Jesus was saying, the disciples, without him, will be like orphans. But he said, I will come to you.
And
that will include the coming of the Holy Spirit. Verse 17. So, when the Holy Spirit really comes and fills our hearts, one thing, he cries out is, Abba, Father. Without that, we are like orphans. Now, unfortunately, in the Pentecostal church, the emphasis has always been on the Holy Spirit comes to speak in tongues. So is that about Maria and
there? I'm not against that. But I want to say what it says in Romans 8, verse 15 and
16.
When we receive the Holy Spirit, he's talking here about receiving the Spirit.
നമ്മൾ ദൈവത്തിന്റെ ആത്മാവിനെ പ്രാപിക്കുന്നതിനെ കുറിച്ചാണ് പറയുന്നത്.
Romans 8:15.
റോമാലേഖനം 8:15.
It says you have received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out Abba Father.
നിങ്ങൾ പിന്നെ ഭയപ്പെടേണ്ട ദാസത്തിന്റെ പിതാവിനെ അല്ല, നാം അബ്ബാ പിതാവ് എന്ന് വിളിക്കുന്ന പുത്രത്തിന്റെ ആത്മാവിനെ പ്രാപിക്കുന്നു.
What spirit have you received?
എന്ത് ആത്മാവാണ് നിങ്ങൾ പ്രാപിച്ചത്?
A spirit not that makes us speak in tongues, but a spirit that makes us cry out Daddy, Abba.
സംസാരിക്കുക മാത്രമല്ല അബ്ബാവേ എന്ന് വിളിക്കുവാനുള്ള പുത്രന്റെ ആത്മാവാണെന്ന്
പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കുന്നു.
ആത്മാവ് തന്നെ നമ്മുടെ ആത്മാവോട്
സാക്ഷ്യം
നിങ്ങൾ
ജീവിതത്തിലുള്ള പ്രശ്നങ്ങളുടെ എല്ലാം ആധാരം നമ്മൾ അരക്ഷിതാവസ്ഥ കഴിഞ്ഞതുകൊണ്ടാണ്.
மற்றவர்கள் வேதத்தில்
And according to his standard, oh, what a lot of wrong things only to the merit of Jesus Christ. You know, many times we say, we pray in Jesus' name. That is like a signal that the prayer is ended. For most people, that is all.
Amen.
But that is the most important part of the prayer. Lord, all these things I have said now, I want you to answer it. Because I am not coming in my name. I am coming in Jesus. I am in Christ. I am coming in Jesus.
Can
I get the answer? That is why sometimes you may find that some people are not as good as you, who don't have understanding, God answers their prayer. Why is that? He doesn't think he's so holy as you think you are. He says, Lord, I have nothing. Jesus died for me. I'm a sinner. But Jesus died for me. So the end of our life, we have to say
that.
I thought about that today. I said, Lord, I live a perfect life. What can I say at the end of my life? To you. You can only say, I'm a sinner. But Jesus died for me. That's all. What is your qualification for going to God's
presence?
Jesus died for me. Nothing else. Not I read the Bible this morning, so God should answer my prayer. This month I gave a little extra for God's word, so God should answer my prayer. So they go to a pilgrimage place and give some money and think, now God will answer my prayer. Does God answer your prayer because He gave him money? He like some government official who will take a bribe and then give you what you want. Lord, I have nothing to claim. You love me, that's all. You love me when I didn't care for you. Don't even think that you sought God. Some people say, you know, I sought after, they say in their testimony, I sought after God and I found Him. See what it says in Romans 3, verse 11. There is no one who seeks after God. There is no one who seeks for God. There is no one who seeks for God. How can you say you sought for God? No, He sought for you. You must remember that. Today, if you are a believer, don't say, I was once here, I was Catholic, and then I sought for God and I found Him. You may have been anything. God sought for you where you were and found you. Don't ever take that glory to yourself. You sought for God and you found Him. Because it says here, there's nobody who seeks for God. I believe so many times we have taken the glory to ourselves. We are not deliberately, unknowingly. God's love for us sought after us, found us, like the shepherd found the sheep, put him on his shoulders and took him home. I want to think of myself like that. I was a wandering sheep, I didn't know how to find my way. But Jesus came and found me, put me on his shoulders and took me home. Praise the Lord. What can I glory in? Justice that God loves me. What is the greatest truth in this whole book.
ഈ ബൈബിളിലുള്ള ഏറ്റവും വലിയ സത്യം എന്താണ്?
Jesus loves you.
യേശു എന്നെ സ്നേഹിക്കുന്നുള്ളതാണ്.
That's all. അത് മാത്രം. That is the greatest truth in the whole Bible.
ഈ ബൈബിളിലുള്ള ഏറ്റവും വലിയ സത്യം എന്താണ്?
ജീസസ് ലവ്സ് മീ.
യേശു എന്നെ സ്നേഹിക്കുന്നുള്ളതാണ്.
അത് മാത്രം. That is the greatest truth in the whole Bible. Are you funny?
ചിന്തനങ്ങളാവട്ടെ ശബ്ദത്തിന് ചെവി
കൊടുക്കണം.
ദൈവത്തിന്റെ മകനാണ്, നീ സ്നേഹിക്കപ്പെട്ടവരാണ്,
നീ
ണോ
ഓക്കെ, യു ആർ സ്റ്റിൽ ഡിഫീറ്റഡ് ബൈ യുവർ ടെമ്പർ.
ഇന്ന് നിന്റെ ആ കോപത്തെ
സ്റ്റിൽ ഡിഫീറ്റഡ് ബൈ യുവർ ലാസ്റ്റ്
തോൽപ്പിക്കപ്പെടുന്നതിന്റെ കോപത്തിന്റെ തോൽക്കടയും.
നമ്മളായി ബട്ട് യു വോണ്ട് ടു ബി പ്യുവർ ഇസ് ഇറ്റ്?
നീ ശുദ്ധനാവൻ ആഗ്രഹിക്കുന്നു.
Finally, you see the greatest need of all. You need to build your life on the love of God. Not because you live a good life. Because God has accepted you in Christ. Heavenly Father, bless the word we have heard these days. I love you. Live before your face. Yes, everyone here, everyone to find security in the love of God. In this name we ask.